Good evening, everyone. Glad to be amongst you and with you. Let's open tonight, turning in our Bibles to Acts chapter 20. This is just by way of introduction, so to speak. We're going to look at just one verse. Verse 32 in Acts chapter 20. Apostle Paul speaking to the elders that he called down from Ephesus to meet him at Miletus. He says, "And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified." Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. It is able to accomplish what you have said. It will build us up, this word of grace, this word of favor, this word that communicates the many gifts that you have blessed us with. Lord, so thankful that we can entrust our souls to it. It is what sanctifies us, set us apart from the world, continues to work upon our character, helps us to understand the purpose that you've brought us forth and the way that we can execute it best to your glory. There's just so much that's contained in the word that's so valuable to us as your people. So just praise you for it, Lord, and just ask that you would bless the message tonight. Bless my brothers and sisters and help me to accomplish the encouragement that's available through the word, the edification that's apparently and so fully available, and for also the opportunity to further equip each one of us for the work of service, that which you've entrusted to the church. So thankful again to be able to petition you and to offer up our thanksgiving, knowing all these things have been purchased for us through the offering of yourself. It is to you, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. I want to talk about what God is able to. Okay, that's just introductory. Probably get a couple of messages out of this, I think. So I'm going to start with three little points tonight of what God is able to do, or he is able to do, that the New Testament talks about. There's several passages like this in the New Testament. But tonight I'm going to just pick out three. And everything that God is able to do, we first need to understand the underlying principle and how God is able to accomplish this is through his power, obviously, but it also takes our participation. It doesn't just happen apart from our participation. So our faith is that, you know, engine that really kicks on and allows the things that God has programmed or planned, his purpose, whatever, to be executed. And that's our part, is our faith. So we have to understand that anything we look at, the Bible says God is able to, it's predicated upon our belief, okay? Our understanding, our faith, that we believe God as Brother Mike brought out this morning in his Lord's Supper meditation. So let's go to Romans 16. We'll start in Romans 16. Then we're going to go into the book of Ephesians. And then for the third one tonight that we're going to look at, we'll go to 2 Corinthians, just so you kind of know where we're going. Romans 16, verse 25. "Now to him," obviously be the Lord Jesus Christ, "who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which has been kept secret for long ages past, but now is manifested by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the eternal God, has been made known to all the nations, leading to obedience of faith. To the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, be the glory forever. Amen." So God is able to establish, he says here. He's able to establish you, each one of us. According to, Paul says, my gospel, that would be our gospel as well. We should be able to say it's my gospel as well. And the preaching of Jesus Christ, all right? So that Greek word for establish, you know, I always like to look into these and kind of get an idea, you know, where things come from, because language does communicate effectively. Words do mean things contrary to what ever modern culture and modern linguists of today want to tell you they don't. Words do mean things, okay? So this word is studizo, okay? It's from a presumed derivative of another Greek word, sta'o, which has a form called histeme, okay? And that'd be spelled H-I-S-T-E-M-I. You don't need to know this, but here's what it really means and where it comes from. The etymology of this word means that you're setting something fast. Like, you know, like when you got concrete, you're going to pull in it, you're going to put a post in it, you want it to set fast, you know, it's going to be set fast or it's not going to move. But it also has the idea that you're going to turn resolutely in a certain direction. So those are two underlying principal understandings of the etymology of this word. To be set fast or to turn resolutely in a certain direction. Okay, so when we read through some of these verses I'm going to look at, think about that definition I just gave you. So let's go just, you know, the obvious best representation would be the guy who is able to establish us, right, according to the gospel. That would be Jesus. Let's go to Luke chapter 9. Let's look at where this word is used again. Okay. Able to establish you, able to set you fast, to turn you resolutely in a specific direction. Luke chapter 9, verse 51. When the days were approaching for his ascension, this would be Jesus, Jesus was determined to go to Jerusalem. Okay? So it's where it says he was determined to go. Okay, that's that same word. When the days were approaching for his ascension, he set his face resolutely to go to Jerusalem. Now, he knew what was going to happen there, right? As Mikkel made mention in his Lord's Supper meditation. You know, we know it's coming. It's everywhere around us. You know, are we going to set our face resolutely to go to spiritual Jerusalem? To make it there? Or not? Do we believe that he is able to establish us according to the gospel? So is the gospel true? Yeah. All these things are really important, right? They're really important. Let's go to 2 Peter, if you would, chapter 1. Again, just looking at a couple of uses of this word. Second Peter chapter 1. Verse 12. Therefore, that has to do with all the information given in the previous verses, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them, and have been established in the truth which is present with you. Established in the truth, set fast, resolutely turned in the direction of the truth, right? It's no fairy tale. He's going to go on and talk about, you know, when we saw these things, we weren't following some cleverly devised fairy tale. No, we know what we're doing, why we're doing it. We know who Jesus Christ is. So our belief, just like it was for Peter and the other apostles, has to be absolute conviction. See, so again, when you're going through the study that proof is the Bible is the Word of God, we're not doing that just to make you see the really neat points or interesting factoids, whatever you want to call it, that the Bible speaks about, all right? It's about developing conviction, not preference. See, a conviction is, I'm going to be at every assembly I can be at because I understand there is where God says all these great things happen for me on an individual basis for my building up, the edification of myself, but also my encouragement to others by being present, okay? And it helps me to understand I'm being equipped for a purpose. That's a conviction. A preference is, well, as long as there's nothing else that I want to do more, I guess I'll go to the assembly. See? So, now I'm not saying you can't miss an assembly. There's lots of good reasons to miss an assembly. You know, I mean, you're going to have to make your choices on what you're going to do. But it comes down to, you know, what's our conviction? What is this all about? Are we being established in a preference or a conviction? It's really important that we understand he is establishing us for a purpose. All right? Now let's just take a quick look at some other ones. 1 Thessalonians. I am of the same mind as McKellen. You've heard me say this for quite a long time now. Time is short. And the opponent, who is under the persuasion held captive by our enemy, the devil, okay, the great dragon of old, the serpent, whatever you want to call him, I mean, he's got those guys held captive, right? And they are executing his agenda. And as McKell said, they do not like what we have to say. And they are getting more and more overt about coming against us. And they are even speaking about violence now. So, I mean, you need to be ready for it, right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13. Well, it's verse 11. Now may our God and Father himself and Jesus our Lord direct our way to you. May the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another and for all people, just as we also do for you, so that he may establish your hearts without blame in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. See, so he's trying to establish our hearts. Whenever you talk about the heart in the New Testament, it's actually talking about literally the deepest inner organs, the bowels, the kidneys, or whatever. It's talking about the deep inner man. We know what that is. It's your conscience, okay? It's what goes on in your brain. Christianity, I think it was, I don't remember who said it first, but I'm going to credit Steve Doty. I think I heard him say it a long time ago. Said it goes, Christianity resides from right about here in the base of your neck to just above your eyebrows. It's that gray matter. That's where Christianity is formed. That's where your conviction is. Your heart's just pumping the blood. Just talking about the deep inner man, your deep conscience is where all this stuff is formed, okay? 2 Thessalonians 2, 17 is where I want to go. We're going to read 16 because you need the context. Now, there's a lot of context I'm leaving out. You guys can go back and read later, okay? Verse 16, 2 Thessalonians 2, now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, comfort and strengthen. These are all that same word, that form of studizo, okay? Comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word. He is setting you fast. He is turning you resolutely. Look at all the concepts and principles that are communicated here when he talks about this word where it's strengthened, okay? Right? Need to drill down into this and really understand these things are true. I'm just going through a bunch of verses tonight, kind of let you guys contemplate these. James 5. Beginning in verse 7 of James 5. Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. If you resist him, he's actually going to flee. Do you believe that? He may be looking for an opportune time to return like he did with Jesus, but he will flee. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. All right? So this is just our hearts, okay? Resist the devil. Draw near to God. He draws near to you. Cleanse your hands. These are all functions being strengthened. All right? And God can do this. Back to 1 Thessalonians. I forgot to mention this. I was going to mention it earlier. 1 Thessalonians, back there again, chapter 3. I bypassed this the first time. Chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, when we could endure it no longer, we thought it best to be left behind at Athens alone. This was mentioned this morning in Bible class by Mr. Toole, this verse. And we sent Timothy, our brother, and God's fellow worker in the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you as to your faith. See how important it is for you being there for one another? I'm thankful for the internet, for those that are listening online on the internet. Thankful that you're listening, okay? If there's a reason you can't be here, I'm so grateful we have the internet that you can listen. But again, if you're just listening on the internet tonight, those of you listening on the internet, okay, this is a little reproving, maybe a little rebuking. If you're just there listening and there's no reason you can't be here tonight, hear those two verses I just read. Hear those again. Ask yourself, why am I not there really? Why am I not there? If there's a real reason you can't be here and you need, and it's a financial reason, whatever, hey, please reach out. We want you here. Just like Larry said this morning about the men going to Spanish Beach. We don't care if you have the money or not. If you can get the time off, you need to write. We'll figure it out. We want you at Peaks. Okay? This is what matters. But this thing's real. This is a real fight. Mikkel set my message up well tonight. He said, this thing is real. We are in a fight, and we need to understand that. So I've been telling you for the last couple of years, it's about value and appraisal. Are we appraising things? Are we valuing things? I see what's coming. I do. I'm not a doomsdayer. I'm hopeful. I'm in Christ. You know, I figure if I go to jail, okay, so Paul said, you know, worked out for the better. You know, some of the Praetorian Guard he'd converted. Maybe we'll get a jailer or two out of this deal. You know, maybe it won't be a Philippian jailer. Maybe a Billingsen jailer. I don't know. But if we go to jail, we go to jail. But, you know, is this real? Do we really believe this, that God is able to establish us? You know, do you believe that you're a fellow worker in Christ? It says everybody in Christ is a fellow worker. Do you believe that your presence can strengthen and encourage others in their faith? I do. I do. I hope you do. Okay. Close with Revelation 3. The good, the bad, the ugly, you know. It's all in here. Can't avoid them. Can't cherry pick this topic, can we? So we got to read Revelation 3. This is really not a... I wouldn't want to be at the church in Sardis. This is not a good picture. To the angel, or the messenger, of the church in Sardis, write. He who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars says this, I know your deeds, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Ooh, ouch. Wake up! Strengthen. Set fast. Turn resolutely, right? The things that remain, which were about to die. For I have not found your deeds completed in the sight of my God. This is a great message for all of us. I'm not trying to be negative, brother. I'm just saying, look, you know, there's things we all get challenged with. Mine lately has been discouragement of the direction of the world. Being honest with you, discouragement of the direction of the world. I'm like, what happened? I mean, I knew it was going to happen, brother. And the scripture lets you know it's going to happen. But there's discouragement in it. The world is just rapidly going absolutely insane. I mean, insane. And corporations are lining up behind the insanity and supporting it. It's just insane to me. But it's something that I need to understand is indicative of the direction of things spiritually in the world. Okay? So how am I going to deal with it? I have to understand that God is able to establish me. Okay? Through the gospel. All right? Got to believe that. He's going to pull me through this. And then the other thing that comes into play is in Ephesians 3. What else is God able to do? In the face of this discouragement, which can be discouraging, okay? And again, I'm not trying to be a Danny Downer tonight. I'm just, look, I know some of you guys feel the same thing. We have conversations. I know you think the same things, okay? All right? Verse 14 of Ephesians 3. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts. Again, he isn't actually coming to dwell in our hearts. It's in this brain matter. Through faith, I believe what he says. And what he says is important to me, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now, to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Here's my answer. Here's your answer. To him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. He gave us the Holy Spirit, the power that works within us. This word that able to do far more abundantly, this is a cool word in the Greek. It only shows up 3 times in the New Testament. But it's a emphasized form of something that means beyond in quality or just beyond. So it's an emphasized form of this. And so that it means that it's super abundant, you know, just crazy abundant, all right? Exceedingly abundant. And it also comes from a verb, the root form of that verb means to pierce through. Isn't that interesting? To pierce through. So what's being communicated in this Greek word? The fact that God's power can pierce through. It's not our power alone. It's through the power of God working with us that it can pierce through. There's the answer. I got to believe that God has given this to me. Abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, so I can stand. He didn't say that he was going to make all this go away. He just said that this is what I'm going to give you to get through this. I'm with you. I'm going through it with you. And it's super abundant, far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Pierces through. Can pierce through discouragement. Pierce through doubt. And those are two of Satan's biggest tools, brethren. Discouragement and doubt. Now, I do not doubt the Bible. I do not doubt the Lord. But I have been honest with you in the past that I can get discouraged by things that are going on in the world. Okay? That doesn't mean I lack faith, I don't believe. It means I momentarily take my eye off of the ball, so to speak. And I start worrying too much about what's going on in this realm and forgetting all that awaits me in the eternal realm. That's what will push me through. That's what will push you through. Okay. Now, in this life, Jesus said that he came to give us life and life abundantly. He didn't mean riches and all that kind of stuff. You know, physical. He said, I'm going to give you what you need to get you through this life and you will be abundantly supplied. Yeah. Only works, brethren. Only works if we believe it. So he gives us his Spirit. And he tells us that his Spirit, dwelling with our spirit, identifies us as belonging to him, as children of God. Okay? That's how we know we belong to him. That's how we know he's with us. That's how we know he's going to help us pierce through these things. Right? So, this is encouraging me. God is able to equip exceedingly abundantly. And I think the other two places that it's used are in 1 Thessalonians 3, this word. Okay, and this is good to look at these verses. 1 Thessalonians 3, 9 and 10. For what thanks can we render to God for you in return for all the joy with which we rejoice before our God on your account? As we night and day keep praying most earnestly that we may see your face and may complete what is lacking in your faith. That most earnestly is the same word. Super abundantly. Piercing through. These are prayers that pierce through. 1 Thessalonians 5. Verse 12, this is this word, exceedingly, that he is able to equip you exceedingly. Just want to see, it's very seldom used relative to other words in the Greek in the New Testament. Beginning in verse 12 of 1 Thessalonians 5, but we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you. Amen, right? There's so many that labor among us that are not visible. The things they do are not visible to many of us. And those of you, you know who you are, and I appreciate you. I know what you do. I do. I'm appreciative. That you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instructions. Now he's specifically focused in on those who are in leadership. And that you esteem them very highly. Here's that word. Super abundantly. That you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Why? They're trying to build you up, get you home to heaven. Live in peace with one another. Great, great concepts to remember, right? All right, let's look at our last section of Scripture tonight, 2 Corinthians 9. So again, God is able to establish us, right? By the preaching of Jesus Christ. My gospel, the preaching of Jesus Christ. Establish our hearts, our inner man, build our inner man. Going to equip us in the inner man to exceedingly so we can deal with all these things we're going to face. Now there's one of the rubber meets the road type of things that can come to be an issue in the real world as we're battling, you know, the spiritual realm as the battle takes place there. We're still in the physical realm. You know, as Mikel, I think, said, we're of the world, but, you know, or in the world, but not of the world. We're here. So there are things that the church needs to function. One of those things is money. So, you know, we talk about stewardship in our Lord's Day Assembly in the morning. You know, it's one of the things that's on the duty roster that we have the guys get up and do. And we try and remind guys, you know, stewardship, you can do whatever you want. We're not going to yank you off of the stand or off of the roster if you don't, you know, specifically focus in on financial stewardship, but we want that focus to be there, not because we're interested in money. We don't pass a plate around here. You guys know that. We have a little box in that little ledge where the announcements are put up out there in the entryway in your little slotted box. You want to give money, you put it in. That's between you and God. Okay? That's your conviction. It's not us forcing you to look like you have conviction. It's your conviction, whatever you put in there. All right? So, money is what we need to get things done. But here's the proper use of money in context here in 2 Corinthians 9. Verse 6. Now I say this. Or now this I say. Some of you may have that in your version. He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion. Again, we're not, that's why we do what we do. The way we have things set up, you want to give. For God loves what? A cheerful giver. A happy person. It's doing it out of the goodness of their heart. They want to do it, right? Everything always works better when you want to do it. Amen? Yeah. I want to be here at assemblies. I want to be here with you guys. I really do. I don't trudge out of my house on Lord's Day or Wednesday evening. I think you could ask my wife and she would tell you this. I don't trudge out like, oh, I go to assembly. I'm like, hey, you know, sometimes I can't wait to get here. I really need the encouragement, okay? Because, I mean, this is a battle some days, isn't it? It is, okay? Excuse me. And God is able, verse 8, God is able, there it is again, God is able, to make all grace abound to you so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. As it is written, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Isn't that interesting? And you will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. So that's as far as we'll go on this. Okay, we know that all grace, he's able to make all grace abound to you. And again, this is talking about you're getting plenty of this, okay? Grace, we know, is the word charis, but that grace, that word charis, comes from the Greek verb form that means it to be cheerful. So it obviously, that previous verse would be there. God loves a cheerful giver. God is able to make all grace, okay, all gifts, all favors, something that should make you cheerful, abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything. So we do have everything we need. We really do, if we look at it properly. You may have an abundance for every good deed. Oh, so now I do have enough money that I can give to the church for the reasons that I should give to the church. For the work of the church to be done. Nobody that's ever been an evangelist in this church has made a boatload of money, I can tell you that. Nobody. We pay them, I think, a fair wage, you know. So, and I'm not taking a shot at anybody, I'm really not. I'm just saying that money is necessary to get the work done. And, you know, the scripture teaches that we should pay evangelists. When we have elders, we should pay them. That's something we need to consider. If we, you know, think, hey, we're ready to have elders, great. Let's get the elders in place. If it's no work they aspire to do, according to 1 Timothy 3, we can't just draft them into the position. They got to want to do it. If they want to do it, great. Let's pay them. We got to pay them? Yeah. Ooh. That's going to take money, ain't it? Yeah. Ooh. How are we going to do that? I don't know. How do you think we're going to do it? You know? Probably going to take some offerings, won't it? So, again, there's nothing most of you guys don't know. But we have some principles in here, all right? We have some principles. He who supplies seed to the sower, bread for food, will supply and multiply your seed for sowing. He gives us enough that we should be able to, if we've aligned our households correctly, we're not interested in owning every toy that's available, that's out there, that we should have the money available to make a donation to the church, right? And then notice it says, it will increase your righteousness. I don't know if you've ever stopped and really read that. And increase the harvest of your righteousness. So see, the money that we take in here, that we pay to the evangelists or maybe elders down the road and others that we want to pay, it is sowing to the increase of our righteousness, because they're doing righteous work for the Lord. They're out there, they're seeking and saving lost. That's a primary function of the evangelist. You know, Nolan, as part of what he does for our congregation, also runs our Christian school. That's great. Is that not increasing the harvest of your righteousness, parents? I'm in a recipient of the harvest of righteousness that comes from putting your child in the Christian school. I personally am a recipient of that harvest. My youngest daughter went through this school all the way from the time she was 8 years old, and I'm telling you, tremendous harvest of righteousness came out of that. You know, what stuff that the church does, we spend money on. Amen? We do it. We have some that sit among us that have gone all the way through that school, remain here, have started to raise families, and started to put their children through the school. This is awesome. It's great. Isn't it? What about, you know, sending money to missionaries that we get reports back that we know are spending their money appropriately and that they're saving souls? That's their goal. I mean, that's sowing to the increase of our harvest of righteousness. We're involved in that righteous work that an individual is partaking in. All of this are things that we need to understand. Why do we give to the church? You know, Mr. Elvin Hopper, some of you remember him. Some of you are newer in the faith, don't know who he was, but he was I always thought of Elvin as one of the pillars in this congregation early on, and he always had the right attitude about how we took care of things in the building. We called him Mr. No, because we'd say, well, we should. He'd go, no, we don't need to do that. You know, but sometimes a lot of times he was right. Sometimes he was wrong, and we would overrule him and do what we need to do. But he said, all we need is to have the church building, you know, just a nice work shirt. It's how he'd always describe it. You ever seen a guy that's in a nice work shirt? I'm not talking about the oil stained and nothing against mechanics or anything, but you know what I mean? And that was his idea, you know. So here we are in this nice building and a lot of nice bare white walls, aren't they? Some people come in and go, wow, this is really sterile in here. I see a lot of white righteous, you know, deeds in this. You know, that's the way I see it. We got a couple of great charts, probably courtesy of Rain, I'm thinking, hanging in the back, that I'm glad we got them. All right, but we don't put a lot of, you know, pizzazz into this place. We just, it's a functional building to get the work done. Whereas you can drive through buildings and see church buildings have just amassed millions of dollars in debt to put up a building, and we know they're not even preaching the truth, unfortunately. We know they're not. Okay? Because they're not following the Bible. Not because I say they're not, but because they're just not following the biblical instruction. All right? So again, if we believe the Bible to be true, we can judge anybody that's doing anything out there, whether they're following God's word or not, by what they say they're doing. They publish their mission statements, a lot of them, you know, okay. And their plans of salvation, you know, they tell you. So, anyway. All right, so God is going to abundantly give back to us if we are willing to spend the money appropriately for the purposes of God. And I've seen that happen over and over in this congregation on a community level, like when we went to expand this building. We were able to raise the money internally. We didn't borrow $1 to expand this building. And we had lots of people that did, volunteer labor. I think this is a pretty nice looking building, don't you? For pretty much put up by everyday Joes and Janes, don't you guys think? I mean, really. I think it's all right. Looks really good. Probably because I wasn't involved in it. But, I'm not the greatest. I'm a pretty good, I'll go get you whatever you want kind of guy, and I'll pound a nail or whatever, but I'm not the best guy at designing and doing. But we've got guys that gave lots of their ability and effort, and so we got this great building. Do everything for the right reasons. Everything comes back to us. I mean, I've seen guys in this congregation, gals in this congregation have struggled with job, things. It just seems like every time they turn on, smack, smack, smack. They get knocked out of a good job, lose, or get stuck in a bad job, whatever. And then all of a sudden, God goes, here you go. You've been so faithful, stuck through it, even though I know at times this was rough. And, here you go. Here's a really nice job for you. It happens. It happens. I've seen it time and time again. So, you sow sparingly to God's program, you're going to reap sparingly. That spiritual principle is there as well. So, let's just kind of summarize tonight. God's able to deliver on what he promised, amen? He's able to deliver on what he promised. He can establish us by my gospel, Paul says, right? Gospel of Jesus Christ, my gospel, can make us stand, right? He is able to equip us superabundantly with everything we need in the inner man. He gives us his Holy Spirit indwelling us, the Word to guide us. The Holy Spirit just waiting for us to believe and then kicks into gear. Now, I can't give you the mechanics. Scripture doesn't tell us what the mechanics. It just says, you believe, the Holy Spirit gets involved, and things happen. And we've seen it in people's lives. Seen it. I can't tell you how it happens. Just that when it goes off in their brain, Rick Vaught has a saying, he says, it's not so much taught as caught. You do have to teach it. But once it's caught, get out of the way. That individual is going to go like you can't believe. All right? When that conviction hits and the belief is there, they just take off. So God's able to establish us. All right? To make a stand. He's going to turn us in the right position if we trust his word and his what he has directed. And he's going to get us to go, and he's going to superabundantly provide for us in the inner man, way beyond what we can comprehend. And then if we take our physical, financial blessings and we arrange those properly, and you get to decide how you do that, I'm not going to tell you. No one in this congregation is going to approach you and say, take out your checkbook. Let's see if you've been given 10% this year. We don't do that. That's between you and God. But I mean, if we as a church group, as part of Christ's church, are doing the right things with the money, we are going to be fine. And it's been amazing how that's happened in this congregation as well. Brethren, God is able. In the words of Steve Doty from years ago, he be able. You be willing. He be able, if you be available, right? That's the big one. He's able if you're available. That's the big ability he wants, is your availability. Thank you for listening. Let's stand. Thank you, Lord, for your word again. I'm just so appreciative. Thank you that you have made us able, you have made us worthy, you have given us all that we need. We just need to believe and do our part, our participation in the gospel. That's what you called us to. What you've reminded us is critical to the purpose of the church being executed in our generation in this time. Thank you again, Lord, that you are so patient, so merciful, but yet you continue to communicate honestly to us what we are able to do. when you are able to execute your work in us who believe. So thankful again that you have entrusted these incredible tasks, this mission, to us, your people. It just continues to communicate to me your incredible confidence in us as your church. So Lord, I thank you, I praise you, and I'm just grateful again for my brothers and sisters in Christ. Just pray for the opportunities in the coming week, that we would seize them as the opportunities come, that we would understand that you have made us able to overcome whatever is thrown into our path. You have given us the way of escape. So, Lord, whatever temptation may come our way, that's been provided. You've been able to create that opportunity to overcome it. So carry us forward this week, Lord, with those promises. So we look forward to the eternal reward as we execute your purpose to your glory. We just praise you again that we can offer up these thanksgivings. Through you, Lord Jesus, you are the Christ. Amen.